Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. Now let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to live in America. Lord, so many different places in the world where Christianity is, Lord, under attack. But we are still safe here in America, and we're thankful, Lord, for that. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Particularly here in the valley, Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you so much for this. And Lord, we do ask this morning that you allow the Holy Spirit to help us. We are a needy people, every one of us. Some of us recognize it, some of us do not. But Lord, we all have needs, and we know that, Lord, you are really the only one that can meet the needs that we have. And I'm asking you this morning that you'd help us, please, not based upon, Lord, our deserving it, because we clearly do not, but based upon your goodness and your mercy. Father, we ask you to help us. Speak to our hearts, please. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate truth. May that truth find lodging in our hearts, and may it change who we are and who we are becoming. And Father, may as a result of all this, may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. May souls be saved and lives changed. We ask you, Lord, to take these next few moments and use them as a help in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs. I'm in chapter 22. Been going through in my study, verse by verse, looking for biblical principles for practical living. Now, I'm not necessarily going through each verse as I'm going through on the radio broadcast here. I did not do each verse in our church, and that's where this idea originated from. But as I came to verses that I thought that the Lord would have us to look at as biblical principles, I took time to study those, do a lot of research and cross-reference, and I've laid out principles, and I've presented these to our church already, and doing so now on the radio, but biblical principles for practical living. It's been my thought process for some time that many times we as Christians, we're not living by principles. We're living by the heat of the moment, whatever our emotional circumstance is at the moment. But all of us know that our emotions can swing from one end of the spectrum to the other, and very rapidly, and sometimes multiple times during a day. Sometimes we react instead of respond. As a matter of fact, oftentimes we react instead of respond. A reaction is something that's the heat of the moment, what you do. But a response is something that's based upon a pre-planned idea, a pre-planned course of action. If you would, a principle. And that's what we're looking for, principles that would guide our conduct throughout our everyday life. I think most of us that listen to this type of radio station would agree with this statement, that we do not have a religion, but rather we have a relationship with the Creator of this world, the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel. We believe that our relationship is something that we can enjoy and something that we should embrace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no time off in our faith. It is something that affects or should affect every aspect of our life, be we at work, at school, at play, wherever we happen to be. We also understand that we as Christians, believers in the person of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we also know that none of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. And there are many times that we act outside of our faith because that's what sin is. Sin is we're doing something that we believe we shouldn't do, but because we're sinful, we sometimes do that. And when we do that, we seek the Lord's forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation and try to make things right. We don't enjoy sin. We don't have a license to sin. We don't think that we do, we don't act that we do, but we do sin because we're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. But we're looking for something to help us to be more successful in our Christian life. Not so that we can be successful for the sake of success, but so that we can be successful at living a life of Christ so that Christ could be glorified and honored through our lives and through our testimony. And as we look to these principles, we can find some a course of action that would help us be what God has called us to be. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the Bible says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I have a book that I've read. I went through it last year, Rooted in Christ. It's 366 devotions. It's a book that's published by Striving Together Publications, Brother Paul Chappell's ministry. And on this particular day, and I don't know exactly which day it was, but I've got here, it says, quote, I read about a Christian attorney who, after meditating on several scriptures, decided to cancel the debts of all his clients who had owed him money for more than 6 months. He drafted a letter explaining his decision and its biblical basis and sent the letters via certified mail to 17 past due accounts. One by one, the letters began to return to his office. Eventually, 16 of the 17 letters came back unopened. A few people had moved, but the most common reason was that the clients refused to sign for and open the envelopes, fearing that he was suing them for their debts. Little did they know that he was relinquishing their debts. Now, what would make somebody not want to open that letter? Well, they were in fear that they were going to be sued. They were in fear that their financial situation was going to get worse. Clearly, it was already bad. They were behind. They hadn't paid the debt. And now they thought it's about to even get worse. They were living in fear, living in frustration, living in anxiety. And so, like the old proverbial ostrich that sticks his head in the sand, if I just ignore it, the problem will go away. And of course, we know that that doesn't work, but sometimes that's how people act. I'll ignore my problems and they'll go away. I ignore my financial problems and somehow they'll just magically go away. Well, the truth of it is, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says here, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You know, there's a simple fact of life that the one who is the borrower will always be subject to the one who's the lender. It's always the case. To borrow from someone or someplace ends up making you the servant to that person or to that who we become a servant to. Here in this scripture is simply a warning about incurring debt that cannot be paid back. You know, it would not be necessarily sinful to be in debt. Most of us have a mortgage. That means we're in debt. Many of us are making car payments. Many of us carry debt. I don't think debt in and of itself is sinful so much, but debt that we cannot pay, or certainly that we would not pay, now that would be sinful. I think to take on a debt that you know is impossible to pay back would be sinful. But here we're talking about a person that just the idea of this, the rich rules over the poor, the borrower, a servant to the lender. And that word, well, let me just read Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. The Bible says, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee, and he promiseth thee that thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Of course, this is God speaking to Israel before they had gotten to the point where God judged them. But God had promised them a blessing. That word shall reign over, thou shalt reign over many nations. That word reign means to rule or have dominion over, to govern. God is saying to Israel, you will do the lending, not the borrowing. You will be the one who's ruling or having dominion over, as opposed to having someone having rule or dominion over you. You know, when you are the borrower, somebody's reigning over you. Somebody's ruling over you. Somebody's governing over you. That's why we need to be so careful about the debts that we incur. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives and the sons of the prophets of Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Here was a lady who has left, her husband was dead, and now the creditor wanted his money. She didn't have it, and now he was going to take her sons, and they was going to pay the debt back. You know, the truth of it is, as I speak this morning, there's a lot of people that perhaps listening, you are suffering, as we say. You're suffering from a load of debt. It's an incredible amount of pressure on your life, trying to make ends meet. And then the bills show up, and then you get late, and then they show up again, and then you get the calls. You know, It's a horrible way to live, and unfortunately, a lot of people in America are living exactly this way. They are in so much debt that they don't even see the ability to get out. Unfortunately for many, sometimes we hear how they turn to, shall we say, choices that are long-term solutions to short-term problems. Suicidal rate has a part of this. So much debt, they just can't stand the pressure. All kinds of things. People are in jail because of reneging on debts. People have great threats over them from some lender, and the pressure's put on because they just can't pay back. You know, God doesn't want us to live this way. You know, and it's not beneficial. Everybody, we all know this. Whether we are the one in debt or we know of someone who is in debt, we know that it's not beneficial. And God's just giving us a principle here. He's just telling us the rich rules over the poor. And so here's a lesson that we ought to take to mind this morning. Think about this. You know, there are some people and some institutions that, you know, you'd just be better off not allowing yourself to become, shall I say, beholden to. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's better to do without. You'd be better off to do without. You'd be better off just to wait. Of course, that gets into the emotional thing where so often we Americans, we want it now. We want it yesterday. But as Christians, we need to just be reminded. Here's just a real simple principle. The borrower is servant to the lender. If you're going to go in debt, you need to understand, I need to understand, we then become the servant to that person who has loaned us that money. And we will be that servant. We will be indebted unto them until we pay back what we owe them. We need to think real hard and long about who it is we're going to become indebted to. May God give us wisdom here. May God give us discernment about our financial status and teaching our children about this. It is such an important, it plays such a major role in people's lives and the enjoyment or the lack thereof because of financial decisions that strap them and short of almost ruining their lives sometimes. May God help us to have wisdom. Well, let's go to one more, verse number 9. The Bible says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor." Sort of the same, the idea of talking about money here. In this case, it's talking about giving it instead of getting it from somebody. This particular principle is talking about giving it to others. The idea of having a bountiful eye. That word bountiful means good in the sense that, you know, if you think about somebody's playing baseball and he's the batter standing there, the pitcher pitches a ball and he doesn't swing and somebody hollers out, "Good eye, good eye." What they're saying, he has the ability to discern what's a good pitch and what's not. You know, we need to have a good eye, meaning we need to have the ability to discern when somebody has a need and when they don't, and be able to be willing to reach out and meet that need. This one, he has a bountiful eye. He has a good eye. And he gives his bread to the poor. Basically what God's saying here, you know, there are folks that we pass by each and every day, certainly each week of our lives. They've got some needs. And sometimes we're like the parable of the Bible where the one, had been beaten and left for half dead. The priest walks by and doesn't even take time to notice him. The next person walks by is the Levite. He walks over and looks at him, but then walks away and does nothing. And then the Samaritan comes by, and he has compassion upon him after having seen him. And he reaches down, takes care of his wounds, takes him to an inn, cares for him that night, leaves the next day, tells the innkeeper, "Here's some money. I'll be back. If I owe you anything else besides this, I'll pay it. Just take care of this guy." One walks by, didn't see it. One walks by, sees him, and decides to do nothing about it. The Samaritan walks by and says, "Hey, this guy needs some help. I'm going to help him." And that's what's basically taking place here. This idea, he that has a bountiful eye, a good eye, he shall give his bread to the poor. In other words, he's got a good eye. The Samaritan had a good eye. He had the ability to discern and see, hey, this guy needs some help, and I need to help him, and so I'm going to do so. The priest didn't. The Levite didn't, but the Samaritan did. You know, sometimes I think God's teaching that in that parable about us. Sometimes we walk by people who have needs and do nothing about it. So this morning, God, I think, would speak to our hearts saying this, you know, learn to have a bountiful eye. Learn to look for people who have a need and be willing to give of yourself, your time, your energy, your effort, your money to help meet a need. That's what this person is doing. He sees the need. He has a bountiful eye, and then he gives of his bread to the poor. You know, God wants us to be a giving people. When we lend unto the poor or give unto the poor, we're lending unto the Lord. He'll take care of us. May God help us this morning to have a bountiful eye, a good eye, to see somebody that has a need and decide, you know what, I'm going to help that person as much as I humanly possibly can with God's grace and God's help. I'm going to help them. Well, I thank you for listening this morning. Two good principles. May God help us to make a practical application. You have a great day. And again, thanks for listening.